So now let's jump right into the most recent trending tech announcements and news. This is Tech Impact right here on I Am Live. And Apple is almost always trending in the news. And one of the reasons is because when every other company does something or tries to do something, you often find that everybody else compares the work that company does or whatever product that company releases to Apple. And I know that Apple users are very much aware of this. And I'm sure this gives them some kind of ego stroke, right? That I have the product that everybody else is trying to be like to some extent, which I can understand. I'm not saying it is a bad thing, not at all. So right now, I want to zoom into some of the news that has been happening around some of the biggest announcements in the world of tech. So the Google Pixel Fold announcement. Google is getting ready to take on the Fold market, which is very interesting that we're still seeing a number of phone manufacturers wanting to jump into this market, because it's so far it has not proven to be a very big market, although I suppose they are hoping that the market will grow, not necessarily to be as ubiquitous as our slab, which is the normal shape phone that you're probably using right now. It might not grow to be as ubiquitous, but this is actually making me think of the conversation we'll be having as a grand finale tonight later on, talking about fashion and how people tend to cover themselves in these garments in order to communicate that everything is all right inside. I honestly think we do this with phones, and I think this is the very reason why a lot of these big or juggernaut cell phone manufacturers are still pushing the foldable phones, because they're expensive, right? They could cost all the way up to $2,000 US, which is around 45,000 South African rands. That is a lot of money to be spending on a phone, if you really think about it. And then Samsung is soon to announce their S24 FE. The FE, if you didn't know, is Samsung's cheaper version of their flagship devices. And they're trying to make versions of it every year, right? So if Samsung releases an S22, 23, or 24, next year it'll be 25, they try to follow it up with an FE version of it, which is basically for... it's made to give you the features of the premium flagship while cutting a few corners, but still giving you the same basic performance within the phone. And the corners they cut are corners that the majority of people don't really care about, because some of us want these amazing phones, but maybe you don't really care about the smart features, you know, or the AI features. I doubt they're going to cut that out, but maybe you don't care about that. Maybe you don't really care much about having a fingerprint or having your phone charge fast or charge wirelessly. I have a phone that charges wirelessly, but to be quite honest with you, I have never ever used it. The only time I've ever used it is when my charging port has had an issue. So yeah, I suppose this is one of those things that I can definitely say Samsung is doing a very good thing, and it's going to definitely help a lot of people within that market. There's new internet speed record of 402 terabytes per second. I want that to sink in. Like, think about that for a second. 402 terabytes per second or terabits per second. That is a lot of download speed. Like, I don't even know what I'd do with this. Within a blink of an eye, whatever it is you're uploading or downloading is done. So researchers have achieved a new record for internet speed, paving the way for even faster downloads in the future. Now, you might be thinking that this is not relevant to you, but here's the thing about when researchers make discoveries or scientists, right? When they've discovered that internet now is, they can get it up to these speeds, which sound ridiculous. And obviously the average person is unlikely to see these speeds probably never, or probably you might only get to see them at work or in spaces that really need this kind of speeds. But the more we improve the speeds of the internet and technology in general, the more the cheaper versions of those technologies become more and more accessible to the rest of us. So it does matter, for example, that a Tesla builds a beautiful electric vehicle, and then it's expensive in the beginning, but over time they learn to make cheaper versions of them. We become so good at manufacturing electric vehicles that they become ubiquitous and everyone can have one, and you can charge it in your home rather than you having to go buy petrol and worrying about fuel prices, which is a very, very interesting thing to think about. I mean, imagine such a world. So the question I'm going to leave with you today is, or rather tonight is, are you, if you had internet speeds this wild, right, at 402 terabits per second, would it change your life in any meaningful way? Or would it just be for clout, for you to be able to tell your friends? But otherwise, your life doesn't need that much speed. But at the same time, I also want to leave you with this question. Would you want your current internet plan to be cheaper and more accessible to you and the people around
you? Let us see what's happening in the tech side of things. Firstly, two things that I would like to mention. Rain South Africa, which is obviously the internet service provider, has got hold of a service called GeForce Now. Now, it's been running for almost a year. I think it's less than a year. It's almost like 8 months now that it's been running. You pay a subscription for GeForce Now. And then what you do is, by means of the internet, you connect to a gaming computer or to a gaming hosting computer. And then you basically stream the games. So you don't have to keep the games on site. What you need is you need, obviously, a quite capable, not a gaming computer, but you need a good enough computer with a decent screen, and then you access the processing power of the internet as well as the gaming computer that you connect to. I think it is pretty, pretty cool. Only downfall, they've got limited subscribers currently in South Africa, meaning not all people can connect. We are looking, they don't even release the numbers that's there, but go to the Rain website, see if you can sign up. Well, the second thing and how it works is you actually then sign up. You get 3 hours of gameplay a day in which you can access the server. Otherwise, you need to enter the queue to open up the servers again. And it's going to cost you $200 a month. I don't think that's a lot. I feel that is actually quite decent. Remember, what you're getting for $200 a month is access to the games GeForce has, and you're basically getting a gaming computer, because you don't need to then purchase a computer. However, do bear in mind that $2,000 or for $200 rather, it's going to cost you, and you can only play 3 hours a day. If you want 8 hours a day, the fee just jumps up to $400. Still not expensive, but I feel can be quite cool. Then, what's also interesting with regards to gaming, esports, which is obviously gaming online, the prize money for the latest competition, get this, matches the prize money that you get from winning Wimbledon. What's Wimbledon? Probably the most well-known tennis competition in the world. I'm talking about Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, Andy Murray, those type of guys, Andre Agassi, right? The premium of the premium of the premium tennis players have won Wimbledon. You're going to match the fees if you win the esports. I'm not saying that that's ludicrous. What I'm trying to say is that's how intensive esports has become, right? It's become such a worthwhile endeavor that if you can make it, which I don't think a lot of people make, because we all know Roger Federer, but we don't know the 10th best tennis player. You understand what I mean? So it's not something that everyone can achieve, but it's something that someone will be able to achieve, and that will give you a great financial income. Try your best, see if you can do it. Probably it's totally worthwhile. Then, the third thing that I would like to mention this evening is, we all know that Sterkiniko has plunged into business rescue, that unfortunately it seems they are doing better, but still people aren't going to the movies. If we've fallen into the trap of streaming services, and then you realize like, wow, well, let's go for a night out, and then you don't know, it's obviously not the case now, but then you don't know whether there's electricity at the mall, because it's... Oh, how great is that? I can't even remember the name. It's load shedding. There we go. It might be load shedding, so you can't go to the mall. It's not helping Sterkiniko at all. They've got about 1 million people visiting them, whereas New Metro has got about 800,000, and then we've got all these little smaller companies. I feel personally that, and they've made it public, that the average trip to a Turkey Call is going to cost you about 450 rand per person. I might be wrong, but I think I see the problem. That is a lot of money. That is seriously a lot of money to pay to sit in a cinema, to drink Coke, which I can buy at the local grocery store, to eat popcorn, which is also, I personally know the farmer that farms the popcorn for Turkey Call, so I can get that. And then just watching it on a big screen, it's going to cost me 420 rand more than the experience, for the experience. I don't know. I love it. I absolutely love going to movies, but it's just not part of my budget currently.